This is the Yearbook Sportscast. We finally well, we're top 50. Wait, let me finish. Wait. We're top 50 on iTunes, apparently, in podcasts that mention the word yearbook or have ever mentioned the word yearbook. That cannot be right. Even in that slender category, we cannot be top 50 in anything. We finally figure out iTunes, and now iTunes is going away. I'm sure you know more about it than we do. What is it, Apple? They're going to carve it up into three different services, I think. Anyway, this podcast is for nurses, flight attendants, and you. I'm your host, Doug. Thanks for joining us. Says in the yearbook at hotmail.com to contact us. In the NHL, I know we're stuck on this Blues photograph revenge thing. And what St. Louis did, winning the Stanley Cup, was incredible in several ways. And we're not just saying that. At one point during the season, the Blues were the worst team in the entire league. This comes with no stats, but it seems like, in hockey more than other sports, hockey lends itself more to incredible in-season turnarounds. But the Blues' worst to first was amazing. But St. Louis's literal final moment in the Stanley Cup Finals was posterized for all to see forever. The Bruins' Bobby Orr won the 1970 Finals over the Blues in sudden death overtime and was immortalized by a famous picture flying through the air celebrating. Frozen in that world-famous picture was the last disappointing split second St. Louis was ever in the Finals. Now, there have to be other similar examples of this, similar setups to this, but take Virginia men's basketball, for example. Their historic upset loss to UMBC in the 2018 NCAA tournament gave us some great images, and Virginia came right back and won it all this year. But the Cavaliers never faced UMBC, which did not make the postseason. In the Blues' case, their first finals appearance since 1970, this year, had them facing none other than the Bruins. That Orr picture remains, but now Blues fans can look at it and say the photo eventually begat one of the great hockey upsets of all time. So Kyle Lowry of the Toronto Raptors dove hard for a loose ball heading out of bounds in Game 3 of the Finals against the Warriors. Well, Lowry and the courtside fan he landed on and the courtside woman in the next seat were all getting up and resetting. Courtside fan Mark Stevens shoved Lowry for, as far as we know, absolutely no reason, and was apparently abusive. Now, players are always blasted for being terrible, terrible people. So there rightly should be a lot of praise for Lowry, who got up and argued with Stevens, but otherwise let the officials handle things. Fans are taking a lot of liberties with NBA players, and that is seriously really scary. It's been suggested, kind of, almost, he wasn't completely serious, by a journalist that NBA players should retaliate, which most certainly would teach fans the difference between playing and watching. But no matter who you are, as the adage goes, there's always someone bigger and stronger, meaning some fans would line up to fight a player, and at least one of those fans would win, making things worse. We just discussed on an earlier podcast how NBA players are prized because on the floor, they and their gear are so visible. They easily become household faces. They're easily recognizable. But courtside seats, they have no glass, no wall, and no netting. It's made some fans go all medieval times. More Pepsi, peasant. Yes, medieval times really is a Pepsi company. And they start shoving players because it's all part of the show. And it's not. The NBA has got to address this with lifetime bans or some other heavy option. But it turns out Mark Stevens is also a billionaire and a part owner of the Warriors. Supposedly he has like an 8% share of the team. Regular fans should be punished and punished severely. Really rich guys should also be punished and punished severely. And that's not really what happened. I don't think it's intentional. The NBA responded immediately, kicking Stevens out of all NBA activities for a year and fining him $500,000. But what that means is Stevens will be back again someday. And the NBA is likely limited in what it can fine Stevens, but Forbes thinks Stevens is worth $2.3 billion. Sure, the publicity and the suspension will hurt an apparent fan a lot, but not don't touch the employees a lot. Stevens will also allegedly have to sell his share of the team. Good move, which should also really hurt a lot, but not don't touch the employees a lot. Even though the Warriors lost the finals, Stevens should still make millions selling off his share of the team. Here, the punishment has to fit what Stevens did wrong. Sitting courtside comes with more than just showing off to everybody. It's scary. The players are scary big, and you have to know, A, you might get hit by flying players and or equipment, and B, you have to control your emotions. Despite not having to worry about A, he wasn't hit, Stevens violated rule B. Being an owner and being a mega wealthy guy comes with more than just showing off to everybody. All of those advantages and all of that money should buy you stuff. But it has to put you in a place at least where you have some decorum. Buy some therapy. Picture that island you own. Buy the world's most expensive car and explode it and then drive it off a cliff. Steven showed no shame. He accepted and used his incredible seats, and he's won three high-profile NBA championships in 5 years. He's not some Indians fan outraged about the endless losing. Well, to quote Eyes Wide Shut, that's unfortunate, because there's plenty of precedent for pulling fans' season tickets, and there's even been some precedent lately for forcing out owners. So finish the punishment. Just 3 months ago, the Jazz banned two fans for life. Do that to Stevens. And then prevent Stevens from making money off of getting kicked out of the Warriors, which might be illegal. So force Stevens to donate all the proceeds to charity. We are 1 month away from 2019 Emmy nominations. Remember Patricia Clarkson from HBO's Sharp Objects? There weren't no one better all year. Does someone really, did we misread this? We might have misunderstood. Does someone really have her at 7-2 odds to win? Is that true? Or did we misread that? Also, the XFL has not yet announced any team names. Cats hate being inherited. And now we have to see Endgame before Spider-Man European Vacation. We haven't even seen the Ballad of Buster Scruggs yet. Don't tell us what happened. And how come everybody talks about stuff around the water cooler, but nobody ever talks about anything around the bubbler? That's unfortunate.